As you know, on Wednesday night, I like to try to give you something that you can use both in the spiritual and the natural, because we are a natural person living in a natural world. We're a spiritual person living in a spiritual world all at the same time. So tonight, I'm going to talk to you how to respond in crisis times. You know, life is unstable. Many are tempted to be fearful, and you know, when things come in like sickness and isolation, unemployment, many other things that you won't think about. So I'm going to share some things tonight that I think that can help you in the natural and the spiritual. You know, the question is, what will we do when trouble comes? How will we respond? You know, our response will determine the outcome. Now, for me, you can ask my wife, if I go into a restaurant or I go into any place I go into, the first thing I do is look where my exits are. And if I'm in a restaurant, I do not like to sit with my back to the door. Part of that's my Army training. How many of you guys know what I'm in Army, know what I'm talking about? I mean, just like right now, if a crisis happened and somebody jumped up and started shooting or something, my first response, I'm going down behind this pulpit. And then I'm going to look to see where his line of fire is, and then I'm going to see the different ways that I can get from this position to get out of here, or if I can come around the corner and maybe get a shot at him. I'm serious. I do have my permit. But, you know, all of you should, in the natural, we need to think about what our response would be if we're in a crisis situation. I hope all of you would do the same thing I'm doing. I hope you'd dive down behind that pew and then start to look. Don't start running, but look for a place to crawl to get out. That's the safest way. That's what I learned that from the Army. The reason I'd like for all of y'all to get down, because all these guys out here that are Army trained that are carrying, if we can't fire if you're in the line of fire. That's one of the first things you learn in the Army is, hey, you can't fire if your buddy's in the line of fire. So what I'm talking about, we should be ready before any crisis happens to respond. Hello, in the natural and in the spiritual area. You know, some of you probably heard we were with a crusade team down in Waco 2-3 years ago. I don't know what it is. Anthony, I don't know where he is. He could tell me he was there. But we all got on this elevator, and it was too many of us on there. And so it stopped between floors. Well, immediately, because you can't be, if you get panicky, you'll do something crazy. Never, never, ever panic in a crisis. First thing I did was say, everybody, just settle down. It's going to be all right. And we were in there, I don't know how long, we were in there. I finally was forced the door open a little bit and was able to talk somebody out there, and they did give us some water. They couldn't get a hold of an engineer to do anything. We didn't know how long he was going to be in there. It was starting to get pretty warm in there. I'm glad I had on a T-shirt because I took off this long sleeve shirt. But I had to keep everybody calm down. Hey, it's okay. Some of them were starting to get nervous, but you got to keep your head in a crisis situation. And it was in one of those elevators that had two doors, one in the front and the back, and they finally, somehow, in the back, in the kitchen area, whatever. They got that door open just enough that we could get through. And I started, get out, because I didn't know how long they're going to be able to hold that thing open. And one person went to the edge, and we were about a 3-foot drop down to the floor. And one person started hesitating, and I just pushed them out. I had to get everybody out of there. And I was the last one to go out myself. But you see, if you're trained properly in the natural, you will handle a crisis. Okay? In the spiritual, you have to be trained properly to handle crisis. You know, policemen, firemen, EMTs, they are trained to handle a situation. That's why they tell untrained people when they get out of the way, because they will do something crazy that will mess everything up. Hello, you there? You're going home already. An untrained person responds emotionally to a crisis, and that is the wrong way to respond. You got to respond with a cool head. Now look at David. David experienced a lot of crisis. You can know that by reading his Psalms. In Psalms 34:19, in the NLT, it says, "The righteous person faces many troubles, but the Lord comes to rescue each time." The Contemporary English Version says, "The Lord's people may suffer a lot, but he will always bring them safely through." Now, we can learn some lessons from David here. He kept his faith in God no matter what. He was assured that his God would take him through. The message that we're talking about tonight, I believe, will help you to determine how to respond in crisis times. You know, if you've got to keep your head, there's a better chance of you succeeding than when you don't. That's just natural. In the natural, some people are just natural that way. Some people have to be trained that way. Your success rate of coming through a crisis, either naturally or spiritually, is the success rate depends upon whether you are trained and prepared to face the crisis. Okay? Now let's look at some things that's going to help us here. Number one, realize trouble, crisis will come knocking at your door. That's just a given. In John 16:33, Jesus has been talking to his disciples. They told him a bunch of stuff. And he said, "I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world." Now the Passion Translation of that says, "And everything I've taught you is so that the peace which is in me will be in you and will give you great confidence as you rest in me. For in this unbelieving world, you will experience trouble and sorrow, but you must be courageous, for I have conquered the world." If your goal is to live in a trouble-free world, then ask God to take you right now. Because that's the only trouble-free world there's going to be. As long as you're breathing God's oxygen that he supplies for us to live by, you are going to face crises in the natural and the spiritual. It is inevitable. You know, one man, I've told you this before, but it's my dad. One man come up to him one time and said, "Brother Hagin, pray for me that I won't have any more trouble with the devil." My dad said, "You want me to pray for you to die?" One man said this, Roger Crawford, I don't know who he is, but he said this: "Being challenged in life is inevitable. Being defeated is optional." How you respond to the crisis will depend on whether you win or lose. Hello? Now, crisis and trouble are not an indicator that you're out of the will of God. So many people, the minute they hit a trouble spot, oh, I must be out of God, I must be out of the will of God. Probably, if the devil's pounding you that much, you probably are in the will of God, and he's trying to get you out. Crisis and trouble are not an indicator of whether you're in will of God or not. You know, I believe Paul was in the will of God. And you go read, he had troubles and crisis. He faced crisis. Now, if he'd have been like some people there in that one city, they wanted to let him down out of the city in the basket, and he said, oh, that's a good idea, so he could live to preach another day. If it had been some people today, oh, bless God, God will take care of me. Well, he realized in the natural, he knew God can take care of me, but he realized in the natural there was something he could do in the natural that could keep him breathing so he could preach tomorrow. Hello? Come on now. I mean, sometimes people get all off kilter when it comes to things. Well, I'm believing God. Well, there's such a thing as believing God, and there's such a thing as understanding that you are a two-part person, a spiritual person and a natural person, and you're living in both those worlds at the same time. And there's some things that are natural, and there's some things that are spiritual, and there's some things that you need the natural and the spiritual coming together. And I say it all the time, the natural and the supernatural coming together make the explosive force for God. You that have graduated in years gone by have heard me say it. People in this church heard me say it. But it's the truth. We live in two worlds at the same time. And there's things that need to be done in both of them, spiritual and natural, so that we can live to preach another day. Hello. Now, remember to keep your heart right. Jesus said in Luke 23:34, this number two, keep your heart right. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. No one has ever been treated as bad as Jesus, and he said, forgive them. He asked God to forgive them. People talk about a man by the name of Kenneth E. Hagin. I'm Kenneth W. Hagin. I'm his son. And they talk about his faith walk. But that's not the main thing that actually at his memorial service is what it was talked about, his love walk. Somebody said, how did your dad have such strong faith? And I said, he lived according to the scripture. Faith works by love. You want to have strong faith? Then learn to walk in love. I didn't say be somebody's doormat. I said learn to walk in love. There's a complete difference, okay? I don't have time to teach that. Okay. No matter what, Dad taught us, if we want to have the best from God, then learn to forgive and forget. I had somebody come up to me a couple months ago, I think, at one of the crusades. And they said, I want you to forgive me. And I said, well, okay, for what? And they said, well, I think they might have been a Rhema student at one time or been part of the ministry here or something. I don't know. I don't even remember it. They said, well, don't you remember when such and such? I said, no, I don't remember it. I choose to not remember. I learned it from my dad. He said, you can forgive and forget. And I've had people that come back and say things to me, and they have to start talking about it and then I finally, oh yeah, I think I do remember something about that. Come on now, don't look at me like that. It's the truth. You know, that helped me when I did in the Army. I worked with top secret crypto stuff, and when you walk out of that door, you got to forget about everything that's in there and not talk about it to anybody, because you've taken an oath that if you inadvertently give out information, you're going to Leavenworth Prison for 20 years. So you can forget about stuff if you willfully choose to. Wives say husbands do this all the time. Another deal that happens when we have unforgiveness in our heart is that we play the name the blame game. Well, if it wasn't for this, if it wasn't for that. No, you make a decision. Period. Ed Cole said in his book Entering and Leaving, forgiveness opens, unforgiveness closes. Forgiveness keeps the door open so God can come in and bless you. Unforgiveness closes the door on all your blessings. Ooh, it got quiet then, didn't it? If you want to know more about what I was just talking about forgiveness, I got a book out there called How to Avoid the Trap of Being Offended. And it talks about forgiveness and unforgiveness and so forth. All right, number three. I got to hurry. Number three. Look to God as your source, not man. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Now, I'm not telling you or talking to you about something that you don't already know or already have heard, but it's something that we need to remind ourselves of so that we can continually be ready to respond in the time of crisis. Okay? You know, when you acknowledge God is your source, then you have no trouble staying involved with his commands. You have no trouble bringing your tithe, bringing your offerings. God blesses you when you respond to him no matter what. My wife, she takes care of all of our bills, has ever since we got married, 56 years ago. And one time, our finances or our disbursements was a whole lot more than our income. And the thought came to her, well, I'll catch up next payday. But then she realized that's not the way to do it. And through the years, many times we have given in offerings, but we've always given our tithe no matter first. I learned it as a kid. She learned it as a young child in her family. My pawpaw, my mom's dad, would come down to Van, where dad was pastor of that church there, that last church he pastored, middle of my third grade year he lived. Pawpaw, give me 50 cents. I would run to dad and I'd say, Dad, okay, how much is the tithe? You know, and he'd say a nickel. So I would get that change, and man, I could hardly wait to put that tithe in on that nickel in that offering plate on Sunday morning. Well, you see, you have to respond. I don't care what's going, you got to respond according to the word of God, not according to your emotions, not according to the way it looks, not according to the way it feels, but according to what the word says. That's the way you respond. Now, number four, firmly and steadfastly resist the feeling of fear and panic. Mark 5:36. But Jesus overheard them and said to Jairus, don't be afraid, just have faith. Here, Jairus had come to get Jesus to come to his house because his daughter was at the point of death. while the woman with the issue of blood had him stopped, they came to Jairus and said, "Don't bother the master anymore. Your daughter's dead." Jesus heard that. He turned to him and he said, "Don't be afraid. Don't fear. Just have faith," or just believe. He had control of his destiny in a moment of crisis. He could choose to say, "Well, I guess it's all over now," and he could just went on. But he chose to believe what Jesus said. In a moment of crisis, you have the opportunity to choose your destiny by either choosing to believe what this word says, or to go with how you feel or what somebody else said. Somebody come up to me not long ago and said something about, "Well, what about this? And these people are doing this." I said, "I don't care what they're doing. That's them. That's not me. I'm going to do what I feel like God has called me to do, and that's what all of you got to do." Okay? Fear and faith can't work together. Fear opens the door for more trouble. Faith allows God to come in and take you through the trouble, the crisis, to the other side. We all know it, 2 Timothy 1:7. God's not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and a love and a sound mind. This means that you don't have to give in to fear. I've heard people say, "Well, I'm just afraid such and such." In fact, have you ever read the book of Job? What he feared came on him. You ever read that in there? Anybody read that? Fear opens the door for Satan. Faith slams it in his face, and you hope that he catches his nose in the door when you slam it. Power, love, a sound mind. If you're in fear, you cannot make a sound, solid decision because you are too emotionally involved. Feelings have to go out the window and you stay in control. Fear and panic causes you to make mistakes. It causes you to say things you shouldn't say. It causes you to make decisions you shouldn't make. But faith, believing God, allows you to move with God, and He moves with you and takes you through the situation. It's never said we wasn't going to have a crisis, but He tells us that He will bring us through every crisis that we face. Now, number 5, submit to God's ability to take care of you. Jeremiah 32:17. I'm reading most of the scripture I'm reading from NLT tonight. "O sovereign Lord, you made the heavens and the earth by your strong hand and powerful arm. Nothing is too hard for you." That's the statement I want you to get a hold of. Nothing is too hard for God. Our situation may look impossible. Our crisis may look like we're going down. But in the middle of the trouble, if you'll keep believing God, He'll bring you out on the other side. I've been in lots of crises in different areas, different times. The first time I ever went to Kenya, the guy met me at the airport, and they had a small plane, and we got on it, and he said, "Okay, we're going to," that was in Nairobi, "we're going to fly to Kisumu." Just as we got ready to land at Kisumu, a big storm came. He wheeled that plane around. he landed it on a grass strip out in the middle of nowhere. And he kicked us out and he said, I got to beat this storm back to Nairobi. There's the highway. Go out there, catch a deal, go into Kericho, and you can then get some kind of transportation on to Kisumu. I mean, I'm in the middle of Kenya. Never been there before in my life. I don't even know where I'm at. We I flagged this deal down. I found later it's a place, it was pick up with this deal on the back, and people, there was three or four guys in there, big old guys, and I saw them looking at my luggage. I had a camera case and some things, and I just started to pray under my breath, the Lord, this is a bad situation. I can tell it right now. I've been in the Army and I knew how to read some stuff. And the Lord said, you still got that big candy bar you bought at London? You know, you bought that big Canterbury candy bar. It's about like that, you know, about that wide. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And so he said, get it out and give it to them. So I got it out and I broke off a piece first and ate it myself. And then I offered it to them. Well, all of a sudden, instead of them jabbering and looking at me and with that look, it all changed. They smiled on their face and they started being nice. And one of them could speak English that I didn't know. And he said something to me in English, and I said, well, I got to go to Kericho. And they said, well, this is going to Kericho. And he told the driver where to take me to the T Hotel, and that's where I ended up. But that was a crisis situation that you could get yourself in trouble if in the natural you don't keep your head and you don't depend on the supernatural at the same time. Hello. I've been in different places like that, different times. See, we've got to believe that God can take care of our situation, our crisis, when it doesn't look like that he can. If we will believe, only believe. Corrie ten Boom made this statement. I've said it before. Never be afraid to trust a known God with an unknown future. You see, too many people, they don't submit entirely that God can take care of them. They start trying to do it on their own. When if they could have done it on their own, they'd already had it done. Anybody getting anything out of this? Number six. Don't allow doubt or unbelief to limit what God can do in your life. Mark 9:23 says, what do you mean if I can, Jesus asked. Anything is possible if a person believes. We limit God the way this man limited God. He said, if you can, you can. In other words, he's saying, and he said here, if you can, anything's possible. Now, we've got to avoid tunnel vision. Just looking at the problem. Quit looking at the problem and start looking at the answer. Both in the natural and the spiritual. Fasten your eyes on the promises of God and do what God says do, no matter when it looks like it's impossible and it's stupid in the natural. I've told this story before, but we had to get a loan and I talked to every bank in the city and nothing happened. And finally our banker got somebody at a bank out of St. Louis, and I'm sitting right over there in that office and talking with the banker. And I told him what I wanted. And, you know, thank the Lord, my brother-in-law is a banker. He's president of a bank corporation. And he'd give me a lot of things to say, and these bankers, they sort of go bonkers when I start saying some of these things, because they say, how can this preacher know this? But anyway, I told him what I wanted, and I did exactly what Gary told me today to say and do. And so he wasn't much in favor of it, and so he started talking. I'm sitting here, and he's here, and my banker's over here. We're at the conference table. And they started talking, and he was discussing, because he didn't like my terms and the way I laid it out. And I felt the Holy Spirit. I heard the Holy Spirit on the side of me, go over your desk and start signing. I had a stack of letters there that I needed to sign, and start signing those letters. Now, that in the natural, that is not anything you do. Walk away from the conference table when you're in the middle of negotiation. That's not right. But I did. So I signed in, and they were talking, and I guess they didn't realize I even left the table, and they looked around, and then he looked around, and then he swung around, and the conference table's here, my desk is here, and he was here, so he swung around, and he looked over at me, and he said, well, are we going to do this deal? Now, I hadn't planned any of this. Out of me, I heard, you heard what my deal is, take it or leave it. Now, wait a minute. I'm on a deadline, and I've talked to every bank. This is my last option. You heard, and out of me came, you heard my deal, take it or leave it. Well, any of you that's ever done any negotiation, you know that was right there, that's a nail in the coffin most of the time. He looked at me for a minute and he said, okay, let's do it. And so we went over, I signed the papers. But you see, I had to submit to God and not allow anything to keep me out of receiving. Now, yeah, in the natural, I argued with God a little bit before I got up, because that's not what you do. Now, I'm not telling y'all to do. You see, don't do what I did. You listen to God and follow your faith. I was following my faith. All right, I got to hurry. I got 2 minutes to finish, and I'm on 7, and I got 10. Real quick, admit you can't handle everything and give it to God. You know, like some people say, I can handle this job all by myself. No, you can't. Peter says in 1 Peter 5:6-7, so humble yourself under the mighty power of God, and at the right time he will lift you up in honor. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. Don't be so proud that you can't ask for help. Naturally and spiritually, you know, give everything to him. Number 8, when you've been treated unfairly, trust God to raise you up. Genesis 50:20 says, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good. He brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many people. That's Joseph talking. Joseph's brothers meant to harm him, but God turned the situation around. If you'll just walk in love when you've been treated not fairly, unfairly, God will bring you out. Number 9, keep on building and reinforcing your relationships. David said here in Psalms 111:1, praise the Lord, I will thank the Lord with all my heart as I meet with his godly people. David maintained a vertical connection with God, but he also had a horizontal relationship with God's people. There are too many people that they don't form good relationships with people of like faith. My dad always said, always stay with your company. And what he was talking about, people say, stay with people that believe, act, and think like you do. Okay. Operate on biblical principles, not on emotion. James 1, 20 and 21. Human anger does not produce the righteousness of God desires. So get rid of all filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept the word of God planted in your hearts, for it has the power to save your soul. In times of trouble, emotion wants to take over, but you've got to stay with God. During difficult times, times of crisis, family would say, "Dad, what are we going to do?" And he would say, "We're just going to act like God's word is true." Old song, I love that old song, standing on the promises of Christ my King. When the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail, standing on the promises of God. All I've done tonight is just give you a few truths, stir up your mind. You already know all of these, but it will help you to overcome crisis if you'll remember these. Proverbs 3, 25 and 26 in the Passion Translation says, "You will not be subject to terror, for it will not terrify you, nor will the disrespectful be able to punish you to push you aside, because God is your confidence, and in times of crisis, keep your heart at rest in every situation." God said that he would take care of you if you would keep your mind stayed on him. Everybody stand. Father, I thank and reminded the people a few things tonight that will help them in the natural and help them in the spiritual. May every individual take heart to what was said tonight. I know that everybody didn't need everything that was said, but everybody needs something that was said. May they take that portion, and may they make adjustments in their life if necessary so that they can be successful both in the natural and the spiritual as we enjoy life with you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Did you get anything out of this tonight? Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, if you happen to be in this place and you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, well, we want you to know him before you leave. If you happen to be in a position that you know what it is to serve God, but you're just not where you need to be, and you need to rededicate your life to him. Or you'd like to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm not talking about church creed or doctrine. I'm talking about what the Bible says. The Bible said they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance, Acts chapter 2, verse number 4. Or if you need prayer for any reason whatsoever, the ladies are here, the men are over here. If you'll come down as we're dismissed and talk to them, they'll pray with you and you won't leave here like you came, in Jesus' name. Connection team, find those first-time guests and take them back there so that we can give them that special gift. We're so glad that you chose to be with us tonight. So, what do we say again, people? Welcome home. You found it right here. Come on and be with us. All right, tomorrow night, Kindle the Flame starts. And I'm going to stay. I learned a long time ago to stay out of the way. I just go and stay out of the way. But hey, guys, if possible, if your wife hadn't signed up yet, make sure she gets here, because it's important. They'll be blessed and helped. Amen. Turn around, shake hands with somebody and say, "I don't know about you, but I am going to handle every crisis, both naturally and spiritually. It comes my way." God bless. Sunday morning right here, 10 o'clock. God bless.